Hello, and welcome to the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast. This podcast is where we provide a condensed version of our Sunday service and sermon, and we explore questions of faith, spirituality, and scripture. My name is Pastor Kevin Rutledge, and I'm delighted to have you here with me today. In this episode, we're diving into a message that explores the questions of happiness and joy. Have you ever felt the pressure to prioritize happiness over everything else? Does our culture's glorification of instant gratification leave you wondering if there's a more fulfilling way to live? In today's sermon, we challenge the notion that happiness should be our ultimate goal. Instead, it calls us to seek a deeper, more lasting sense of joy and fulfillment that transcends and goes beyond our fleeting emotions. We'll hear examples from small annoyances of everyday life to the greater moral dilemmas that we face, and how Jesus' teaching and actions point us towards a life of purpose and alignment with God's will. Stay tuned as we uncover the difference between temporary happiness and lasting joy, and discover how we can align ourselves more closely with our faith in Christ. Let's get started with prayer. Thank you. Enjoy.
Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for gathering us in this space by your Spirit so that we might experience your presence moving among us, that through singing praise to your name and hearing your good news proclaimed, we might be touched by your Spirit and be transformed in your presence, so that as we depart this place, our lives may reflect your glory, your light, and your will. So that all who see us, who know us, who interact with us may know that we are guided by your love for them and for your world. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Martha and her, Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going to go there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again on the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. And now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but he was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came there, where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
There's no denying that we live in a culture that glorifies happiness over anything else. How we feel is what matters most. We see this in so many different ways. We get angry when anything would get in the way of our happiness or what we want. When we look out at people who do things that are appalling to us, we see that they are doing it because they want to. It makes them feel good. And it doesn't matter the impact that it has on anyone else because they're after that feeling of instant gratification. These things can be as simple as when we're at Hershey Park and we see a group of people cutting in line because it gets them to the ride faster, no matter what it does to anybody else behind them. But it gets worse. Just this week, a number of students at Great Valley High School were in the news for creating TikTok accounts impersonating teachers and then posting homophobic remarks, sexual innuendo, and causing all sorts of problems. And the school district's trying to figure out what they can do. The teachers who have been negatively impacted are trying to figure out what is available to them. But for the students, it was a reflection of our culture saying, if it makes me happy, if it entertains me, then it doesn't matter the lasting impact. It doesn't matter what happens next. It doesn't matter what it does to somebody else. I'd argue that the same mentality, what was at play in Pennsylvania with the assassination attempt on President Trump. If it makes me happy, if it accomplishes my goal, if it is ultimately good for me, then it doesn't matter the impact that it has. So we see this progression, this attitude of happiness first, of self-servingness first, above anything else. And we see it progress in different ways. The problem that we run into is that, yes, you probably aren't cutting in line. Yes, you're certainly not performing any assassination attempts. But this drive of happiness, this drive of as long as it makes me feel good, is still present in the church today. Some preachers preach on it. It's called the prosperity gospel. That God's primary goal, God's primary function is to make us happy, to make our lives easier, to give us what we want, to give us what we think we need. And if we are faithful to God, if we give, if we serve, if we pray, if we go to church, then God will bless us with happiness. This is not biblical. This idea of happiness first does not come from Scripture. And we have to wrestle with that. We've seen inklings of this in our world and in our culture. Some of you may remember Marie Kondo. What sparks joy? And in many ways, it wasn't necessarily joy that she was describing, because if you pick up an object that you have in your house and decide, does this make me happy? Does it evoke an emotion in me that's worth keeping? And if not, throw it away. But at any given time, I could pick up anything in my house, and sometimes it evokes happiness, and sometimes it evokes dread, and sometimes it's the same object depending on when I pick it up. The same thing can probably be said about me. I evoke joy sometimes, I evoke happiness and others, and probably there are still other times that I evoke dread. It's the nature of life. But the question is about that happiness. Does it evoke that emotional response that makes us feel good? As we talk about fulfilling our purpose, if we don't disconnect this idea of happiness from this idea of lasting joy, we're going to be in trouble. Because our natural inclination is to do what makes us feel good. And that is not always what God wants us to do. And we've got to be able to set that aside. We have to be able to make a distinction between what makes us happy, that emotional feeling, that emotional high, that thing that feels good, with something that creates lasting joy, that survives outside of the circumstances, that survives outside of the very thing that can drive us to the highest happiness and the lowest despair. Emotions are fleeting, but joy and purpose and fulfillment will outlast life circumstances. And this is what we need to connect with. This is where we need to go. We see in today's passage that Mary and Martha send a note, a message to Jesus that said, "Your friend Lazarus is dying. Please come and heal him." There was a statement of faith in there that they knew Jesus could do it. And if Jesus would come and heal him, then he would be okay. Now, if people's happiness, if his own happiness was driving Jesus' purpose and mission, then he surely would have gone right away. Or as in other stories, he could say from a distance, "Go home, Lazarus will be fine when you get there." But Jesus' mission was more than just happiness, his own or others. There was something deeper that he was trying to create, trying to show. And he says this. He says, "It's a good thing that I wasn't there when he died, because you're going to see something, you're going to experience something that shows the depths of not only God's power, but of God's love." And so he tarries. He waits 2 days. The disciples ask him why he's waiting, and they're confused by this because they see the friendship and the relationship, the love between Jesus and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We see it later when Jesus arrives at the tomb and he weeps over his death. If Jesus was all about their happiness, that fleeting emotion, he surely could have kept that going by healing Lazarus or going right away. But his goal was to help the people in this story grow deeper in faith. Have a deeper understanding of what he was there to do. Have a deeper understanding of both his love and his power and what it means to trust in God. Now, in order to get there, he had to set aside happiness, his own and others. He had to set aside the good feelings that he would get by healing a beloved friend. He had to temper his own the expectations around him for the greater good, for a joy that would last beyond life circumstances. So he waits. He talks to the disciples about going back to Jerusalem, and the disciples, they still don't get it. And Thomas, beloved Thomas, "Let us go with him so that we might die as well." Just don't get it. And Jesus arrives and talks to Mary and Martha. They say, if you had been here, if you had come when we asked you to, if you had come when you were supposed to, our brother would be alive. If you had done what we expected, if you had focused on our needs and what we wanted you to do, our brother would be alive. Jesus knows Lazarus is dead. Jesus knows what he's about to do. And still Jesus, when he arrives at the tomb, weeps over the death of Lazarus. He even says to Mary and Martha that he will be resurrected, and they have faith in the resurrection that someday Lazarus will rise again. And Jesus makes that bold proclamation, I am the resurrection, I am the life. Goes to Lazarus, and he commands him to rise. Now I can fully believe that this evoked that feeling of happiness. The one that they thought had been dead, that had been in the tomb for 4 days, was now alive again. The joy, the laughter, the happiness, the exuberance, pictured in my mind. But what Jesus gave them was more than just that happiness. He gave them something that would outlast any other death. That would outlast when Lazarus would die again, whenever that would meet him. This joy and faith in God lasts any circumstance. As we talk about our purpose, as we talk about living out our calling and who God has made us to be, both as individuals and as a church, we have to be like Jesus. We have to live and operate our lives like Jesus, which is really hard to do. We have to set aside those things that give us happiness, that would make us feel good for just a little while. We have to set aside those things that make other people just fleetingly happy and find a way to faithfully live and serve in ways that isn't about what makes us feel good. It is about what will create lasting joy and fulfillment. That often means setting our desires aside, our wants, what we think should happen, and be willing to experience the greater good, and experience a diminishing of ourselves so that others may experience more. Now, our purpose as a church is to make Christ known, to proclaim the good news that healing is possible, that there is new life that is possible, that the way things are not the way things always have to be. That if people are feeling lost in sin, lost in despair, feeling alone and lonely, feeling as if they are tossed by the waves, that there is a better way. They're feeling that their mistakes are driving them, that they can't get away from them, to tell them that their sins do not define them, that they can break away from them through the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ in their life. And yes, there is a day when we will be reunited with our loved ones and we will be united with Christ in glory. But they don't have to wait to experience the joy that comes with that. They do not have to wait until death. They can experience here and now. Set aside their desires. Set aside the things that make them happy at the cost of others. This is what it means to be patterned by faith and patterned by Christ. And our primary mission in this world as the church is to help people come to know who Christ is and how much they love him, so that they might experience it for themselves and seek it out for others. Where are you on that spectrum? Have you experienced Christ's love for yourself? Have you experienced that life-changing transformation that can happen? Maybe you weren't as far gone as some of the stories that you've heard, and so your transformation is not as strong, but surely some point in your life of faith, you have experienced the joy that comes with knowing Christ. But have you gone the next step? Do you have within you a strong desire to make Christ known to others, to take the experiences of joy and laughter and celebration and faithfulness that you've experienced and have carried you through difficult times, and take what Christ has done for you in those times and say, I want this for other people. We need to figure out how to do that. Sunday morning is one option. Last few weeks, we've been talking about messy church and reaching out to a new group of people through that experience. And I honestly believe the future of the church is not going to be centered around the Sunday morning gathering. It's going to be centered around worship in some form. But I honestly believe that we will see is a church united in mission, but expressed through different communities in the same building. Sunday morning worship, messy church, dinner church. Maybe reaching out to small business owners in our community who are struggling in life and building community around those. Building community around the families that come to the nursery school and working together so that we might help them live life in a new way if they're open to it. And in each of these communities, there's a different purpose, and a different hope, and a different gathering, and a different reason that they meet, but united together for a desire to know Christ and make him known. So my hope and desire is to see Sunday morning grow as we reach out to new people, as you invite friends and families and neighbors to experience Christ in our midst. But also recognize that as we start new things, as we reach out to new groups, we may not see them on Sunday morning. We may see them at a church picnic or another gathering of service. But know that we are united together, that we are one body with many parts. So as we know Christ and make him known through worship, through outreach, and through mission and service, we do so, recognizing that it may not but be what we want for ourselves and for our church, but we'll create something that lasts, that's fulfilling and hope-giving. And in order to do that, we all must work together. We all must commit ourselves to that mission. We're all going to have to place aside some of those things that we would like to see and cling on to others for sure. In the God that has guided us, trust in the God that saves us and unites us. Trust in the God that has been faithful to us as he has journeyed with us. And yes, we would have preferred him not to tarry as long as he has. But even if that were the case, our job is to be faithful no matter what. Are we united together in that? Are we united together in that purpose? Are we united together in saying, let's make this happen in whatever way that we can? For the sake of not the people that are here, but for the sake of the people in our community that are hurting, that are lost and desperate, who are open to experiencing and receiving the good news, then will we take it to them? Each week at the end of our service, we pray, send to us all the people who feel unwanted and unloved everywhere else. And if they can't come to us, send us to them. If we want to be sent, if we want to be sent to the hurting and to the lost, then we're going to have to get out of our comfort zones. That may take away some feelings of comfort and happiness, but in the end, give a sense of lasting joy and fulfillment of purpose. As we've talked about figuring out what our purpose is and living it out as individuals and as a church, one thing that I hope that we have heard, one thing that I hope that you take from this is it's not about what we do. It's about figuring out and living our daily lives as God wants us to go about those lives. Living it with purpose of living Christ, loving Christ, and sharing Christ in all that he has done for us, all that he will do for us, from those moments on the cross to the resurrection, and the future coming in glory. Let us pray. Loving God, we come faithfully before you, trusting in you, having been guided by your Spirit to this place. We ask that your Spirit would speak to us, that we might hear the still small voice of your Spirit calling out to us, inviting us to follow you faithfully, to go where you would lead us, to leave behind the comforts that we cling to leave behind those things that give us fleeting happiness, but not lasting joy and fulfillment. Help us to see the difference. Help us to recognize when it is that we seek our own happiness, our own emotional response, our own comfort, in rejecting what you would call us to. Help us to see all things and all gifts as a gift from you, that happiness is not bad or wrong, but it shouldn't drive us. We see a world that's hurting. We know of people in our church who are in need of healing, who are in need of your care. So we lift up Rosalie, and indeed we lift up all those who are sick. We know that we have loved ones, people that we care about, friends and family, who are in need of your care, in need of your healing touch, in need of hope, in need of your light. The people that we name this morning, we know that you are already at work in their lives and you are already well aware of their needs, even if we may not be able to express it fully. And so we pray that they may experience your presence in their lives, your healing and your hope. And that may, if there is any way that we can be an answer to someone's prayer, through word, through deed, through faithfulness, through friendship, if there's any way that we can be your hands and feet, and a sign of your loving embrace to those that we have lifted up, you would show us, so that through us, they may see you. The names that we have lifted up today, Andrea, Will, Carol, we place them in your loving care, trusting in your faithfulness, knowing that their situations are beyond what we can fix and deal with on our own. But we pray for all those who care for them, for doctors and nurses and other caregivers, for friends and family who will lift them up and help them along the way. We pray for those in our community who feel lost, who are seeking answers, who are open to experiencing your presence. And when we cross their path or you send us to be with them, help us to meet them where they are, to see where you are already at work, see where transformation and new growth and new life is already happening. Help us to be signposts for it. Us to be gardeners, planting seeds and nurturing growth. Help us to see it, to celebrate it, and to see you in it. We pray for our nation and its divisions. We pray even for those who would seek to cause chaos and harm, that they might be convicted to see another way. We pray for our world, continually divided by faith, by nationality, by gender. For long histories of violence, divided by power, and the powerless, divided by hatred and long histories of violence. We continue to pray for Israel and Palestine and their leaders, but we pray for all those who innocently suffer. We continue to pray for Ukraine and Russia, the violence and bloodshed that continues. And these situations seem so intractable that there is no path forward. And yet you have promised us a way. You have promised us that one day justice will reign and mercy will roll down like a mighty rushing river. And though we may not see that day in our lifetime, we ask that your holy waters of cleansing, of healing, and of hope would fall on the thirsty. As we go about our lives, help us to live out your purpose for us, so that whatever we do, whoever we talk to, wherever we go, we may be touched by a desire to love you more, to love those around us more, and to make you known through word, through deed. Help us to follow you wherever you would lead us as your faithful disciples. And forgive us when our steps tarry, when we reach our wall and say no further. Help us to see it. Help us to break it down. Help us to continually follow you as your beloved disciples. And as we pray, whenever words fail us, whenever we are unsure of what to say or do or how to pray or what to say, let our prayers and our life be guided by that prayer that you taught your disciples so long ago that rings true even today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on this. We hope this sermon has inspired you to reflect on your own life and the ways in which you seek happiness and fulfillment. Remember, living a life of faith in Christ means more than just chasing fleeting moments of happiness. It calls us to a deeper purpose that transcends whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. As we leave you today considering these questions, how can we set aside our own desires for immediate gratification in favor of actions that bring a lasting joy and fulfillment? How can you, like Jesus, make a tangible difference in the life of those around you, even if it means stepping out of our comfort zone? I invite you to spend some time thinking about these questions and let them guide your actions in the coming week. If you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone who might benefit from hearing it. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review to help others find this podcast. Until next time, may you go forth with purpose, seeking lasting joy in everything you do. May your life reflect the glory, light, and will of our loving God. God bless, and see you soon.